Just reach for your Bibles behind you, and we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. I'll be reading this morning from the Amplified Version of the Bible. And again, that's Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. It may sound a little different, but it all means the same. Amen. Now the Pharisees and Sadducees came up to Jesus, and they asked him to show them a sign. He replied to them, a sign from heaven, I'm sorry. He replied to them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and has a gloomy and threatening look. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and morally unfaithful generation craves a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Then he left them and went away. When the disciples reached the other side of the sea, they found that they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Be careful and on your guard against the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves about it, saying, "It is because we did not bring any bread." But Jesus, aware of this, asked, "Why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Oh, you men, how little trust you have in me, how little faith. Do you not yet discern, perceive, and understand? Do you not remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Nor the 7 loaves for the 4,000, and how many large provisions baskets you took up? How is it that you fail to understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they discerned that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Thus ends the reading of the word.
Thank you. Glory to God. You may be seated in his presence. My. I want to say thank you. If we would just do that more often, just to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. How's your soul today? All right. Well, today we're going to talk about beware. Let me hear you say beware of spiritual blindness and false teaching. As we look at our scriptures, and I'm looking at the New King James Version, it says, "When the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven, he answered and said to them, 'When it is evening, you say, it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening.' Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. A wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign. No sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." How many remember what the sign of the prophet Jonah is? Amen. The sign of the prophet Jonah is? The sign of Elkanah. That's it. He was 3 nights in the belly of a whale or whatever fish that was. And then on the 3rd day, what? The whale spewed him out. And when he said the sign of the prophet Jonah, Jesus was going to be what? All right, on the 3rd day he, all right, this is the only sign that they were going to be given, he said. And then he left them. How many of y'all know Jesus didn't hang around foolishness? You know, we get to a point where we think that, oh, pastor's so harsh, pastor should, you know, she just cut you off and move on. Well, y'all should have been around Jesus. He did not just entertain foolishness. Some of us try to answer everything that people will ask all kind of foolish questions. It's a time to say, no more. Either you believe or you don't. If you don't believe, go about your business and go on to hell. Because that's what's going to happen. You can't persuade some folk because they want a sign. They want you to explain to them everything that Jesus did, why he did it, and then have the nerve to say, well, why didn't he do? Who are we to say, why didn't God? You the clay, he's the potter. Since when did the potter start telling the clay what to do? The clay start telling the potter what to do. When did that happen? And we have people that's, forever questioning. And we don't, but there's a reason for that. They don't want to believe. That's the reason. They don't want to believe. They're trying to find every excuse not to believe. But I tell you, the destination for those who don't believe, you can go ahead. Try it if you want it. I wouldn't. And you're getting all kinds of warnings. And here it is, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they didn't even like one another. They couldn't get along at all. All they ever did was they were diametrically opposed to one another. In their belief and in their behavior. The Sadducees didn't even believe in signs and supernatural events. Yet here they are joining forces with the Pharisees, who were strict believers in the supernatural. Now here they are. What does that tell you? The world will come together against Christians. I don't care, the Buddhists, the New Agers, the humanists, and all of them, they'll come together against Christians. You can pray in every other name, but you better not mention the name of Jesus. And Buddha don't believe what the humanists have said. None of them believe it, but they'll come together against Christianity. They'll come together against the Word of God. That ain't true. Man wrote that. How do they know? Y'all better be careful who's speaking in your ear. Who's even pressing you to ask those kind of dumb questions? I used to say there are no dumb questions, but there are some dumb ones. When you start refuting the Word of God, I'm like, why did God do this? And why did God, and why didn't God do this? And why didn't, who made you God? Who died and made, who made you God? What did God tell Job? Where were you? When he created them, where were you? God didn't entertain that mess. So we as believers need to stay away from that kind of stuff, because the ones that's doing that are people who don't believe, don't want to believe, trying their best to find a reason to justify their unbelief. But here they are, coming together to pile up on Jesus and test him. Oh boy, that was dumb. They wanted to prove that he was an imposter. They wanted to discredit Jesus. And that's the same thing today. That is the same thing today. People, especially, and I hate to say this, but especially education. You go to the school of divinity, and you're blessed if you don't come out an atheist. You go there to get a master's of divinity. You go there to learn how to preach and come out not knowing what to preach. What it does is put doubts in the mind. I know some a young man who was, he was Pentecostal. He was loving the Lord, and at the time he was doing that, I was penning other things. And he was loving the Lord, and I was looking at him like, get out of my face. I don't want to hear none of that. I was partying, and he was loving the Lord. He graduated from high school and went to this very prominent school of divinity. And when he went there, he dropped out. He was so confused, he didn't even know if there was a God. He dropped out and went into being a pharmacist. He couldn't deal with it. And see, that's because even though he was Pentecostal, he didn't have the word. He wasn't steeped in the word. I mean, he had all the emotionalism. I mean, y'all know Pentecostals are good for that now. You know, we like to do a good shout and a good speaking in tongues and a good dance. And all of that's fine. But you better get a good word. You better get that word deep down in your spirit. And see, we don't want to learn about the Bible. We don't want to learn. All we want to hear is the stuff that makes us twitch. We want to hear the stuff that tell us, oh, you're going to be rich. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, you go there, by his stripes you are healed. Hallelujah. We want all of that. And that's good. But what's better is you better know that you know that you know the word of God, so you won't be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Because the winds are blowing. The winds of false teaching, they're blowing. Oprah has a following. And people are like, oh, I gotta watch Oprah. Gotta watch Oprah. You better cut Oprah off before your mind get entangled with some stuff that you start doubting. Once you find out that a person is going the wrong way, you need to shake the dust off your feet. And don't tolerate, don't sit there and get it, because they'll have you doubting what you've been taught. They'll have you doubting the word of God. And see, and they'll have you spiritually blind. Because you are so hooked up on the person. And so you're eating up everything that they say. You know, sometimes people who are charismatic, that's why they get a spot. Why you think all them people drink that Kool-Aid in Guyana with Jim Jones? Because Jim Jones started out preaching the gospel. And then, I mean, he was charismatic. And everybody began to, Jim Jones, Jim Jones, Jim Jones. Yeah, Jim Jones. That's Jim Jones. Everybody started, then his head started getting like, and after a while he threw the Bible away. You don't need to listen to what I have to say. And as a result, he took all those people, uprooted, gave him all their money, everything that they had, followed him to Guyana, and ended up drinking poison Kool-Aid. He killed all of them, along with himself. And then there's still some said he ain't dead. I don't know whether he is or not. But he killed all of his followers. I mean, y'all know, I just said Satan is the only one that what? Only leader that do what? Kills his followers. And so you better beware of just following people who are charismatic. And whatever that charismatic, nothing wrong with being charismatic. That's great. You know, I mean, when you can get that word across to people, get everybody's attention. But you better make sure that whatever they say is in harmony with what the word says. Go back and check out what they're talking about to make sure that what they're saying is what God is saying and not their opinion. Because it's right here in the word. If you want to find it, you can find it. It's no excuse for being ignorant. See, what happens, the reason why we get caught up in stuff, we're lazy. We don't want to get into the word of God because you got to sit there and read. Oh, there's a whole lot of reading right here. Shoot. I can't read all that. So you take what people say and run with it. No, you get into the word and find out that if what they're saying is lining up with the word of God, yeah, they were. They don't come together. And they're going to tempt Jesus. And then Jesus, what did Jesus say? He answered and said unto them. He said, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And then he goes on down. And then he says in the fourth verse, he says, the wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall be no sign given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. What Jesus was saying, he says, take heed, beware of the false teaching. That's what the leaven was. The leaven was the false teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, the thing about what happens is the natural versus the spiritual senses. Natural senses are sharp. We have people who are really, I mean, people are intelligent, smart, sharp in the natural. They can answer you. They got all kinds of, and they're looking at logic. If this is that, then this follows, that this follows, that this follows. That's not the way God works. God works according to his word. And so we can't look at the natural and say, well, I don't understand how that could have happened. And we are comparing it with what we see. The natural is our senses, our five senses, and what we see, what we taste, what we smell, what we feel, what we hear. See, so many of us live by what we see. If I don't see it, I don't believe it. But we can discern all the things that we can see, but we can't discern anything that's spiritual. Why is that? That's because we are not spending the right time with the master. That song says he walked with me and he talked with me. We love that. That song is pretty, isn't it? And we love to sing it. Oh, he walks with me and he talks. Do you hear what he's saying? Do you hear what he said? God is speaking. God is speaking today like never before. He's not saying anything contrary to his word, but he is speaking to every person that names the name of Jesus. He's speaking to you through the things that's happening in the world today. We are not listening, folks. We are not listening. And some of us, you know, you sort of fall asleep on some things. I was telling Elder Tandy earlier how I was so mad about I was just disgusted about the faith-based initiative that's in that, what you call it? Huh? The stimulus thing. I was saying, you know, oh, I was mad. That faith-based thing. And he's opening it up to everybody. In other words, it's all inclusive. It's one of those things. The faith-based initiative says that it's for everybody of all faith. And if you participate in that, then you know you can't. If you have, for example, if we have a community development program, and we get a grant through the faith-based initiative, we cannot, according to that. We cannot reject or deny a person because of their lifestyle. You know, when we do things, you want to hire Christians? Well, according to that, you would have to hire whoever qualifies intellectually or experientially. And so if it's a homosexual, you can't deny hiring a homosexual around all your little boys or little girls because they are homosexual. You can't deny. So all of this is in that faith-based initiative. Faith in what? And see, I was really uptight about that. I liked a lot of what's in the bill because it provides jobs, and I didn't like that, and I was praying about that. I was praying in my quiet. God, move it from the bill. Lord, take it out if it's in it. If they don't change it, take it out. And God spoke clearly to my spirit. He said, what? That's not my system. That's the Babylonian system. I never told the church to depend on the government for money. So why are you fretting? I am your source. So if you decide to get the grant, you just follow what their rules. I said, yes. Go on with y'all bill. Whatever y'all gonna do, I pray, you know, I don't like it. But if you should put it in there, if it passed, so be it. I don't need it because I got Jesus. But see, that's not where I was at first, though. I was getting mad but what makes us think that the world is going to do anything that pleases us? They're against Jesus. It's a system that's set up. Look, they're just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They all come together against the name of Jesus. And we've got to get to see that and wake up spiritually. We've got to wake up. As our prayer of our ministers, wake up, you sluggard. We've got to wake up and smell the coffee. We've got to really understand what is going on. When we see all of these things and everybody is, like, they have President Obama on the clock. This is his such and such a day in office, and he's done this, that, and that. They watching that man 24 hours. He is not God. And they're acting like he's God. He ain't even in control of the real finances. He's not in control of what is really happening with this economy. He's trying to get things done. He's trying to move. But the ones that's in control, they don't even answer to him. And see, we don't understand. There's a system. There's a plan. Satan is the god of this world. He is the god of the air. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. So we need to wake up and begin to advance the kingdom and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything that we need will be added unto us. We need to stop seeking man for our resources. Stop seeking man. Stop getting all fretted out about the economy. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Bible says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. If you're a child of God, you don't have to get all anxious about the economy. And some of us are getting really bent out of shape. People are losing jobs like water running out of bucket. But we were in the kingdom of God. Now, if you're playing around, you might be running out with the water. It's time to get serious. It's time to wake up. It's time to see what God says about the signs of the time. And let's look at what some of the things that he said about the signs of the time. You can go with me there if you want to. Look at 2 Timothy 3:1. Look at 2 Timothy 3:1. And you see what, you want to know what time it is? 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times, say perilous. Perilous times will come. What kind of times are we living in now? It said, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Oh. Ouch, I better move on. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, and on and on and on. What time do you think it is? These are perilous times. We are living in the last days. My sisters and my brothers, we are living in the very last day. Wake up. Begin to see with your spiritual eye. I don't care what you see going on around you. Know that when people are acting ugly, you've got to see beyond the person. And you've got to see the spirit that's dealing with that person. You've got to begin to rebuke the spirit. And look, we're so busy rebuking each other. We're so busy hating each other. Why? Because we've been influenced by spirit. Oh no, I don't believe that a child of God can be possessed, but you really can be influenced and oppressed by evil spirits. Because why? Because you listen to the wrong thing. Because you hang around the wrong people. Because you're saying the wrong thing out of your mouth. And as you're doing that, you are opening yourself up for all kind of spirits to come in. Some of y'all got stuff in your house that you need to get rid of. You got some things in your house that's causing demonic spirits, and you wonder, why is my house so upset? Why every time look like I go 3 steps forward, I take 2 back, because something always happened in my house. Get the demons out. There are demonic spirits in the houses of Christians. Say, Pastor, how do you know that? Look at the walls of some of the teenagers' rooms. You don't believe it? And everybody on that wall ain't a Christian. And the stuff that they're dealing with and the things, the songs that they're singing, they're not Christian. In fact, some of them downright filthy. Just demonized. Spirits travel with things. The music that you listen to. Demonic. Y'all know, you don't know what you're messing with. See, you're spiritually blind. You don't understand. You think, oh, I got it covered. That can't do nothing to me. Lies straight from the pit of hell. You get to messing around with witchcraft. You get to messing around with the occult. You get to messing around with all of that mess. All of that is a part of the Antichrist movement. The Antichrist is, he will run the world on pharmacology, which is the drugs, and witchcraft. And if you notice on TV, and you watch these movies that's coming out, it's a whole lot of them that's demonically inspired. There are a whole lot of movies on television now. You find more witches. What's that charm and what's that other thing? That vampires. That is of the devil himself. He's the only leader that kills his followers. You can mess with it if you want to, but you're going to find yourself straight in the pit of hell. There is no way out of hell. You know better because you've been taught better. And you keep on doing it. And you know what? You might catch hell on earth before you even go there. Because Satan hates you. Y'all don't understand that Satan don't have no love for you. He hates you. He calls you out with the glitter. He calls you out with all of the things that's so-called interesting. With things that's mysterious. You know, I remember when we were a kid, when I was a child, the thing that mama told me not to do, that's what I wanted to do. Whatever she told me, don't look at, I wanted to know, you know, I had to peep around. And that's the way people are. When you know you're not supposed to do something, a lot of times, that's the very thing that attracts you. Because Satan is saying, come on, you, that's all right. What did he, didn't you see what he did to Eve in the garden? They said, did God say? Why? Because he wanted to cast doubt in her mind. And then he said, he just don't want y'all to be like him. That did it. Because we all want to be God. We all want to be in charge. We all want to be somebody. And I'm telling you, you need to open your spiritual eyes. You need to open your spiritual eyes and understand that Satan hates you. And it's things that you do, young people, along with old people got some of that stuff too. But all these skull and bones means death. Skull and bones is the sign of the Masonic, the Illuminati. It's satanic. It goes along with the serpent. If you ever get a chance to go to the United Nations, you could go to the United Nations, and you will see in the United Nations, there's a room where there's all kinds of religions being displayed. They got something that looks like it could be, a portrayal of Jesus Christ way off in the corner. But guess what's in the middle of the signs, in the middle of all the religions? A serpent. What does that tell you? They're sitting in the middle, a big serpent. This is the United Nations. And I was watching a documentary, and this Christian economist, somebody asked him, said, well, what about the United Nations? What is? He said, they are a bunch of scoundrels, thugs, and thieves. That's what they are. They are heads and of all these different countries dealing with witchcraft, killing their people. Don't care nothing about people. They don't care anything about the needs of the people. All they care about is control. Why? Because it's the plan of the enemy. God has a plan for your life. He said, I have a plan for you. The plan that God has for you is to do you good and not to harm you. But you'd rather follow the plan of the enemy. Why? You don't believe the plan that God has for you. There you go again. Not believing. You don't believe because you don't want to believe. Because if you believe, you're afraid it's going to take some of your fun away. I'm telling you right now, it won't be no fun. There's going to come a time that all that you think is fun, and you don't have to go to hell to get there either. There'll be some times you may think you are having fun, and as a result of your fun having, you could end up in wheelchairs. How many of y'all saw Charlie's Play? You could end up in wheelchairs, or you could end up in a straight bed, just laying flat on your back and knowing what's going on, and you can't do nothing. A lot of times we put ourselves in harm's way. Why? Because we refuse to open our spiritual eyes. We refuse, but we follow the teachings of the enemy. We'll follow humanism. We don't mind when you start talking about doing good for this person, doing good for that. You know what? We are supposed to do good, but we are not God. And humanists teach that we are God. We are the ones that we have our own destiny. We are the ones that they have some good teaching as far as being good to people, but they exclude Jesus Christ. But they say just enough to get watered down Christians to listen to them. To get people who refuse to take the time out to spend some time with Jesus. Or people who want to have their way, as the old folks say, have their cake and eat it too. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't live like hell and reap heaven. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And not only that, as you are following the enemy out here, walking under the false teaching, walking around from under the umbrella, you are a target for the enemy. You are not protected. You are not protected because you have stepped from under the umbrella. Why? You like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. Jesus said, you hypocrites. And he walked away from them. He walked away from them. He didn't even want to deal with them. Just because you come to church on Sundays, some of you may too, where would you be if your parents didn't make you
come? God said, I wouldn't be in church, that's for sure.
But it's for your own good that you're here. I'm telling you now that you need to beware of spiritual blindness. You know, we used to have a saying that went, what I don't know won't hurt me. Let me correct that saying to you. What you don't know can kill you. The wise man will stay awake. Jesus says to watch as well as pray. He says that we ought to be alert. Let's look at what we're talking about, signs of the times. And I'm going to close after this. Look at 1 John 2:18. 1 John 2:18. It says, little children, do y'all believe this is the word of God? Tell me, do you really believe this is the word of God? Listen to it. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. I want you to understand that the spirit of the Antichrist has been here since the beginning. From the time God said in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman shall bruise his head. He'll bruise the seed of the woman's heel. And the seed of the woman will bruise his head. The seed of the woman is who? Jesus Christ. And the Antichrist spirit has been fighting him ever since. When he came to earth, he tried to keep him from going to the cross. Even as a baby, he tried to kill him by killing all the babies that was in his age range. All along the way, even use the people that's closest to him. How many of y'all know that the devil will use people that's close to you? People that you think are your friend. People that you think got your back. Ouch. Just felt a stab. The devil will use the ones that's close to you to come out against you. He'll use the ones that's close to you that are ignorant to try to help you and kill you at the same time, because they'll be thinking they're helping, but they're hurting. I mean, what did Peter say? Oh, no. You ain't going to no cross. Oh, no. Oh, no. He had to go to the cross. And what did Jesus say? Jesus rebuked the spirit. See, we've got to start rebuking some spirits, but you can't rebuke them when you're oppressed by them. You can't rebuke spirits when their spirits are influencing you. See, we've got a lot of intellectual sense. A lot of us, we memorize the scriptures. Oh, we can answer the questions. We're so very intelligently answering. And don't live nothing. Just as far from the umbrella as we are from Louisiana. Can't do what's right to save your life. But can quote some scriptures. But can tell you everything that the Lord God said. Look, he says, not only are we to be hearers of the word, but we ought to be what? Doers of the word. Let me tell you, you got to walk in this thing. Some of us need to shut up. Stop talking so much if you ain't gonna walk it. Just keep quiet. Because you know you ain't living right. And then you get them, you try to fool everybody, and you try to sound like you are most holy, most reverend, and you are just a hypocrite. That's what Jesus said to them. They were just hypocrites. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, and eventually he told the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil. Church, we need to wake up. We need to open our spiritual eyes. Now, you might think, we just listen passively to, you know, I'm here, and I hear what Pastor's saying, and I hear. But let me tell you something. as you sit under the word, when the sky start falling on you, call on the one you're serving. Call on the one you're serving. Your idol gods. Some of us got a lot of idols. He said, thou shalt have no other God before me. We need to get rid of these idol gods. Some of us got idol gods, our cars, our homes, ourselves. You know, we make ourselves God. You know how we do it? I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, and I don't care what nobody else say. This is me, and I'm going to do it. Then you God to you. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He's the one. How many of y'all know promotion comes from the Lord? You don't have to worry about pulling people down like crabs in a barrel. You don't have to worry about gossiping. You don't have to worry about trying to make some of us, we try to make ourselves look good by making other people look bad. You don't have to do that. God made you unique. He gave you everything that you need to do what he wants you to do. Develop what it is that God has put in you. Don't worry about what sister so-and-so has. Don't worry about what brother so-and-so can do. Do what God told you to do. Check yourself out to make sure that you are in the place where God has called you to be. When you're in the will of God, look, you're in the right place. When you are in the will of God, Satan can't touch you. Now, I didn't say it wouldn't try. I didn't say hard times wouldn't come. But he said, I'll be with you through the fire. He says, yea, the Thomas said, yea, do I walk through the valley and the shadow of death? See, there's nowhere you can go that God is not. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What you afraid of? But he also says that if any man will follow me, you got to deny yourself. Take up your cross. And follow me. Get off the throne of your heart. Get off of the throne of your heart and put Jesus there. Make Jesus first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Everything that you need, he got it. He got more than you need. And he gives exceedingly, abundantly more than we can ask. And we shouldn't get mad and give up because it don't come in 3 weeks. Faith says that we keep on believing. We keep on receiving. We keep on speaking, calling those things that be not as though they were. Faith said we keep on praising him. In the midst of troubles, in the midst of trials, I don't care what you feel like, keep on praising him. When things look like they're going wrong, praise him. When you praise him, you shut the devil's mouth. Praise him, church. Don't come in here and sit up and look like bumps on a log. Let's praise the Lord. Come on and give God some praise in this house. Give him some praise in this house. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does it look like everything is fine and everything is going well? No. Who cares what it looks like? My spiritual eyes see the abundance coming. My spiritual eyes see that God has already done it. Begin to see in the spirit. Open your spiritual eyes. But you got to be, he said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Some of us are neither willing nor obedient. He wants us to be both. You've got to make up in your mind. You've got to determine purpose in your heart that you will be willing and obedient. And I'm telling you, there's a blessing for you. There's a blessing for you that you don't even, you can't even imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, it's really not in your natural vision, but God got some things for you. You need to be able to pull them on out of the spiritual realm. You don't want to wait to get to heaven and see them all laying in the corner. But you want, he wants you to reap those right here on earth. God wants his people to be blessed. He wants his people to do exploits. He wants his people to be walking in such a way that the world will look at us and want what we have. And you know, some things that the world wants from us is just peace. We have peace, and some of them, they got big money. Look at that guy. What's his name? Madoff? He locked up in his well, he ought to be glad he didn't go to jail, but, I mean, he's in his penthouse. And guess what he's talking about? He tired of that jacuzzi. He want a different kind of jacuzzi. Somebody ought to give him a different kind. Send him on to jail with the rest of them. He'll have a different kind of jacuzzi. See, he's getting bored because he's locked up in his penthouse. Oh, my, my, my. What a reason to get bored. See, people like that don't know God, they don't know what to do. They don't know what concerns to have. But we may not have no money in our pocket, but guess what? I got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. Why? Because I know that whatever I need, I'm going to get it. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Everything that I have ever needed. Sometimes it looked like I wasn't going to get it, but it got right up to the day and God gave it to me when I needed it. The proof is I've never been set out. Glory to God. I've never gone hungry. So what I'm saying to you is that God loves you. He wants the best for you. But you've got to begin to see in the spirit. You've got to begin to line up with the word of God, church. Beware of spiritual blindness. Don't let nobody tell you. Don't let nobody tell you that there are more ways to God than one. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man, say no man, comes to the Father except by me. Jesus is the way. He is the only way. I don't care. Children, when you're in school, I don't care what they say to you. I don't care. You can get stuck on one thing. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. How do you know? Because I know. The word of God says it, and I believe it. I receive it, and it's settled in me. If you don't want to believe it, that's on you. But if you ask me, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. You don't have to try to explain to them how he is. How did he get there? What did he do? Tell them, come on, we can sit down and have a Bible study. If you want to know. But Jesus is the way. He did it for me. He brought me out of darkness. I've got peace. What about you? If you want peace, come on, let's talk. Because you're going to only get it through Jesus. Because he is our peace. Amen? Amen. Beware of spiritual darkness, blindness, and false teaching. Don't let nobody tell you anything contrary to the word of God. And you don't have to sit there and argue with them all day. Don't get into great long debates. Quote the word and do what Jesus did. Depart. Because when people want to get you in a great long debate, they're just trying to make an excuse to justify their unbelief. You don't have to argue about the word. Here it is. Give them a Bible. Tell them to read it. Don't let them bring you down to trying to explain what God did, and then they're going to get you all trapped up because you're going to say something that's wrong. You're going to say something that they're going to say, but that couldn't happen because logically... Yeah, God don't work on logic. He's sovereign. He can do what he want to do any way that he want to do it. That's the answer to the question. Why did he do it that way? Because he's sovereign. Because he want to do it. Don't ask no more questions. I'm not God, but I know what he did. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise.